The Dental Practice Fixers podcast is brought to you by the Maddow Center for Dental Practice Success. To find out how we can help increase the success of your practice, check out maddow.com or call us at 1-800-258-0060.
Team members has always been a bit of a tricky proposition, but it seems like these days there's a new complication that's been thrown into the mix. We're going to hear about that on our question in this week's episode of the Dental Practice Fixers podcast. Welcome, 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 everyone. I'm Dr. Richard Maddow, along here with my cohort and co-host,
Dr. David Maddow. How are you all doing? Welcome back. We really appreciate you. And let's get right into the question today.
Let's do it.
It's a great one. I'm surprised we haven't gotten this question earlier.
I know.
Anyway.
I think we've gotten it in live seminars before.
Have we gotten it in
live?
Okay.
I think so.
Anyway, this is something that is probably going to affect, if it hasn't yet, every single dental practice out there. Starts all, Rich and Dave, hey guys, love the podcast. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. I've been a practicing dentist for over 35 years and still love every single day in the office.
Woohoo!
There are no plans to retire. Well, I'm not sure if that's great because you got to have some kind of exit strategy at some point.
But well, that doesn't mean he can't afford to retire. It just means he has no plans to retire.
That's
great.
We'll tackle that another time.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Like most dentists, we have staff members who leave for various reasons. So every now and then, we need to hire someone new. Okay. The last few times I've interviewed people, they have all had very large, visible tattoos, which I found to be unattractive. I know these things are commonplace these days, but many of my patients are older, and I don't think they would appreciate team members with tattoos, piercings, etc. What do I do? Dr. Abner Smith from Georgia. No, that explains the whole thing, Georgia. But actually, it doesn't because tattoos are ubiquitous. No matter what state,
city, urban,
country,
rural. I mean, they're everywhere.
Yeah,
tattoos are extremely. I mean,
hey, did you ever see mine?
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
Hold on.
It says Marshall.
It says Marshall?
It says Marshall.
What?
I had one that said Bard, but I took that also. I covered up with Marshall.
You know, do you remember many years ago, I think it was Marshall's our middle brother. It was his 50th birthday.
50th.
So he's 61 now, right?
Wait
so
a minute.
It was 11 years ago.
It was 11 years ago? Are you sure it was that long ago?
The three cool brothers were in Atlantic City. Well, just us, not the three cool brothers. For Marshall's 50th birthday, and I think I said, look, we should all get like some kind of brother's tattoo. If everybody agrees, I'm in. And you said
I was in, right? I was in.
But Marshall wouldn't do it. And you know what? Thank you, Marshall. I'm glad you didn't say
I think we should have done it.
Well,
I think Marshall should have done it. Even a little small thing, who would care?
You know, like when we were kids, I think, and again, I don't know, we maybe had like a sheltered upbringing. Only men from like a tough upbringing, like the Merchant Marines or whatever, would have tattoos.
Well, do you remember our barber's names when we were little
kids? Rudy?
Way before Rudy.
Rudy was in jail.
Yeah, he was in jail. But way before. You might have been too young
probably,
to even remember.
I probably don't remember.
We went to a place called Pete and Sam.
I remember
Pete and Sam,
sure.
Now, they had like you just said, I think they might have even been in the Merchant Marines.
Right.
But they had tattoos.
Right. So when we were really little kids, early to mid-60s, mm-hmm. Those were typically the kind of people. And then it became much more common for men to have tattoos of, you know, any kind of job, education level, whatever. And now, obviously, it seems like more young women have tattoos than men. So they're very typical. They're very normal. They don't mean anything other than the fact that you've got a tattoo. I mean, that's all it means. So I think if you're going to say, I don't want to hire people with tattoos, well, you're going to be, you know, cutting yourself out of a huge percentage, probably some very talented and smart people you're going to be discriminating against, so to speak.
Many young people. Yeah. I mean, maybe even the majority. Maybe.
Right.
But
what do you think? I mean, do you think that if this person truly is in an area where his patient population is maybe older and really conservative, that he should be cautious about hiring people with visible tattoos?
So you said visible tattoos. So in other words, let's say somebody comes into the interview. Let's say a woman comes into the interview, and let's say she has tattoos, but you can't see them. They're not visible. They're on her back or wherever they may be. They're not visible during the interview. Does anything need to be said at all? Like, I just want to make sure if you have tattoos, whenever you come in, they're covered up. Or if you can't see them during the interview, do you assume they'll never be seen during work time?
Now, that is a really good question.
Like,
in other words, I guess the basic question is, Do we have an office policy, no visible tattoos?
I think that's a possibility. But suppose, where do you draw the line? Suppose a team member has a little tiny tattoo right there that you can't hide, but it's not getting in anybody's way and it's not in bad taste or anything.
I mean, I was going to say, I've seen young ladies with tattoos on the, kind of like the inside of their wrist, mm-hmm. like right here, just the cute little design.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody, I think, would say it's, you know, horrible. They look nice. That's a visible tattoo.
Yeah. So what's the rule? Where do you draw the line? So what we're talking about is somebody that comes in. Somebody that comes in and there are no visible tattoos, but you still have like an office policy in place that says, that clearly states no visible tattoos during patient treatment time or something like that.
I see what you're saying. So like after hours, you don't care what they do. They can walk around with, you know, very short sleeve shirts.
You can't tell somebody what to do after hours.
Of course not.
You can't tell them that. But is it out of line? Is it even, I guess it's legal or you know, would the HR police get after you if you have in your booklet that says no visible tattoos allowed during clinical time?
When I finished my residency, and again, times were different. This was 1985. I'm sure you remember. One of my very early associateships was in a suburb of Baltimore called Dundalk. Now, Dundalk is the classic
tattoo palace.
Stereotype blue collar town, tattoos everywhere. And we had this dental assistant, and I don't think she had tattoos, but she wore like this weird makeup. She had like all these different colors on her eyes, and she had one of those haircuts where it was like shaved on one side and like slicked over on the other.
In the 80s. That's a little weird.
I mean, she was super cool. She was really radical.
Right.
And I'm thinking like, what the F? I mean, this is a dental office. Who's going to come here and let this woman treat them? So the flip side of that is, of course, she was a great person, fantastic with patients, excellent clinical assistant. I mean, I forgot about it, like working with her for a day or two. I didn't even mm-hmm. look at her and
right.
see this, you know, kind of freaky persona. I just mm-hmm. saw this
right.
great person gotcha. Who was a fantastic dental assistant. I think, and people were much more closed-minded in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I've got another story too I want to share, but I think I think on this question, my answer is loosen up. Tattoos are normal. Obviously, you know, you don't want somebody like with a teardrop tattoo coming out of their eye, which means they're in a gang and murdered someone.
Is that what it means?
I think so.
I don't even know that.
Or like profanity or something like that. But I think, you know, using the word tasteful is tough because that's a, objective, subjective. That's a subjective term.
Right. You can't say, yeah, only tasteful tattoos are allowed. Right. Well,
who decides? Right. I think none of them are tasteful. I think it's time. It's 2019. If you're listening to this as it's current, I think it's time to let it go and just hire people who are, you know, present well, have great clinical skills, are good with patients, and not worry about it.
Really?
What do you think?
So you're saying that I think you need to have some type of guidelines in place because by what you're saying, it would be totally fine, especially on a warm day when your assistant's wearing something sleeveless.
Well,
they have to wear clinical attire.
They have
like the whole arm. What do you call it?
A sleeve.
The whole arm tatted up, and maybe the neck. I mean, is that okay?
It's a professional practice. I think it's fine. It's funny. I think that there are certain rules that we have to have with our team members. And one is they have to present well. It means they can't come in poorly dressed, you know, clothes that don't look right in a clinical. It doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of money,
right. But
it means your clothes have to be clean and they have to look right in a clinical setting. And your hair has to be, you know, pulled back properly and you can't have long dangling earrings. I mean, these things get in the way of proper treatment.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to somebody's looks, you know, which includes tattoos. I don't know. I wouldn't mind a woman that has a sleeve tattoo working in my practice if she's a great assistant and, you know, dresses normally.
I think it depends on the area. Like you said, Dundalk, Maryland would be totally fine. I mean,
what did you call it? Tattoo
palace?
It's
not a knock on Dundalk, but like Upper West Side, Manhattan, a practice there, somebody it's all tatted up. I don't know if that's so cool.
Upper West Side of Manhattan. I would say you've got a huge artistic community.
Oh, yeah. How about Upper East Side then? Let's go
Upper East Side. That's a little snooty.
Upper East Side. Going into a dental office and somebody, and this person just tatted up. I mean, I personally have nothing against tattoos I have nothing against them. But again, you know, I have nothing against a lot of things, but a lot of things shouldn't be necessarily okay in a dental office.
I guess, you know, I can only speak my personal opinion, I certainly wouldn't mind being treated by a dental assistant or a dentist or whatever that has a sleeve tattoo, as long as they were a great assistant or dentist. Will people leave your practice? I don't think so.
Okay, let me just give you an example. I was in, it's been 2 or 3 years, met a waitress in Ruby Tuesday.
Again? You and the waitresses.
The waitresses. There's a waitress in Ruby Tuesday, and she was super, super, super nice. And she was, let's just say, for lack of a better term, I'm going to use my term, she's all tatted up.
All tatted up. ATU.
She was ATU all the way. And she told us a story that sometimes people would come in, like an elderly couple would come in, and they would request, and she would say, "I'm your wait. Hi, I'm so and so. I'm your waitress today." And they would go to the manager and say, "I do not want this woman waiting on us with all these tattoos." So, just again, not everybody thinks the way we think. And is it possible it's hurting the practice having somebody like all tatted up working on patients? I think it could hurt the practice. I think it could.
I guess the other side of that coin is sometimes you have to make a decision. Like, are you going to stand by your principles, even if in some way it could be detrimental to your practice, you know? And like back to this woman in that dental practice, sometimes she would come in with like a big blue streak in her hair. And like some people would say she's a freakazoid.
Freak.
But she wasn't.
Right, right. You know, I think we're going to have to leave this as it's up to each practice to decide. But you should have something outlined in the office manual.
I want to get back to the Ruby Tuesday for a second.
Yeah, sure.
We've seen this many times. There are waitresses, servers, waiters, waitresses, whatever you want to call them. As a matter of fact, one worked in a restaurant near here. No tattoos, very clean appearance, but gingivitis. That's effing gross.
Well, you got to say no gingivitis allowed
but
also.
Most restaurant owners don't even know.
They've got to have a soft tissue management program
in the restaurant. So that's disgusting.
Right.
That person's totally got billions of disgusting infectious bacteria in their mouth. That's totally to me worse. Much more important than tats or piercings
but I
or
think
something
it
like
goes,
that.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I think it goes without saying that you're not going to have somebody with gross periodontal disease working in a dental practice. You're just not going to allow
that. I've seen people with bad teeth working in dental practices. You have too. Sometimes it's the dentist.
Absolutely. We've seen it. We've definitely
seen it. I guess what I'm saying is I think if you're worried about this, you're worried about the wrong thing. You know, look, there's anything that could cause patients to leave. I'll bet there are patients who, for one reason or another, said, "I don't want a male hygienist."
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
100%.
Well, get with it, man.
Should we just leave it at that? Maybe. It's subjective and it's up to the practice.
It's a great question.
It is a really good question. So, Dr. Smith, thanks so much for sending that. Everybody, keep sending your great questions because we really appreciate you. We'll try to get
I would love to hear our listeners' opinion on this one because I don't know that we ever really – I know we wanted to handle this question, but I don't know that we ever really came to what we would say a definitive answer from us.
No, it's subjective. Right. It depends on the office.
But please, if you're listening to this, we'd love to hear you weigh in on this topic. That would be great.
Yeah, be fantastic.
How do they reach us? Is it – I can never remember. Info at Maddow.com. You can't go wrong with that.
Always get to it.
Info at MADOW.com.
Also, podcast@maddow.com will get to us. But pretty much anything at maddow.com. You can send it to crazy@maddow.com. No, it won't
get to us. Don't do that. rtrain@maddow.com.
It still might.
Let's do info. Hey, before we do our call of the week, who's coming to TBSE this year? Yes, November in Las Vegas at the fantastic Tropicana Resort Hotel. We've got an incredible lineup of speakers. It is the best bang for your buck in dental education. Nothing else is even close. So go to the website, check out the speakers, sign up while the tuition is still really, really low. It's an incredible 2 days of not just dental education, but fun, motivation, team building, and a great vacation. And you certainly deserve a little vacation, especially when the practice can pay for it. So that's up to your accountant, of course, but I hope you're charging all your CE to the office. Go to TBSE.com, the best seminar ever, TBSE.com. Look at the speaker lineup. It will absolutely appeal to you and bring the team. We'll be there. We'll be hanging out. We'll be shooting the breeze, having a good old time with you in Vegas. So, again, TBSE.com, and we'll see you there.
25th anniversary. We've been doing this for 25 years.
Cheers.
How have we been doing this for 25
Unbelievable.
Years?
Unbelievable. I'm not so sure.
It's going to be special, though.
It's kind of like a disease. Like we can't get rid of it. It comes back year after year after year.
It's going to be very special.
Spatial. Uh-huh.
Before we move on to the call, Rich, let's talk about something. I know we mention this every single episode.
For good reason.
For a reason.
Is there a reason?
Because if somebody just said to me, well, how would you like to have a check or how would you like to have save a lot of money every single month, I'd be stupid not to listen, especially if it were something so simple that everybody could do. Well, that's why we talk about Fat Merchant, the credit card processing company that we truly believe in. We use them here at the Meadows Center. We switched to them about a year ago.
Maybe a year and a half ago.
Something like that, but we've never been happier. Transactions are smoother. Everything goes well. Plus, we save so much money. And you can do the same thing in your dental practice. When you sign up with Fat Merchant, it's simple to switch. They do everything for you, including if you use our special link that we're going to give you, they'll give you the free terminal, right? The free terminal. You don't have to do anything, and you'll start saving a lot of money every single month. If you're not doing this, like you're kind of nuts not to do it.
Nutso.
Why wouldn't you want to do this? Go to bit.ly/fatmad, which is FATTMAD. If you're watching on a video, we're putting a little thing right down there so you can make sure you have the spelling right. But however you get there, get there. If you're not doing this, again, you're losing out on money every single month. Why wouldn't you do it?
All right. Let's do the call of the week.
For quality of service, this call may be recorded.
Good morning. Thank you for calling. How may I help you?
Hi. My wife asked me to make this call. She kind of put it on my to-do list today. She wanted me to ask you if you're all accepting new patients.
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. I'll let her know. Thank you very much.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
All right. Do you ever just want to like raise your hands and scream, is anybody listening?
I don't get it. I really don't get it, Rich.
The simplest of all calls. Two patients. Because I would assume the husband and wife are coming in, right?
I was just going to say the same thing. Almost guaranteed two patients. She answered the question. Yeah, we're accepting new patients, but she didn't take it any further. And you know something that I think might have been one of the problems. And
so
did you hear, as soon as I started asking the question, another phone was ringing in the background. I think what was on her mind was, I've got to get to that other call. And it rang twice, and I said, okay, thank you very much. It was much easier for her to say, no problem, and take the other call than to start explaining, and that other call keeps coming in, and that's what I thought. I felt it.
It's a really good point, and I think when there's another call coming in, whether it's, you know, even in your personal life, when you get that annoying call waiting thing or on your eye, your whole focus shifts. Like, who's this new call? Is this more important than the old call?
Do I
need to put mom on hold? You're so right. So, first of all, nobody should ever be in that position in a dental practice. You should have enough people to answer the phone. And even if there's a clinical team member who's not busy that second, they should have the mindset that they're going to grab that phone if it's ringing. So really good point.
So I wonder, okay, so if they had proper staffing there and somebody else took that other call that was obviously ringing in the background, if she would have had more time to devote with me, if she would have been better, she would have
said. My guess is no.
Maybe not, but at least she would have had a chance. But now all she's thinking is, I need to pick up that second call.
So in that scenario, she could have said, excuse me for 1 second, may I just put you on a very brief hold?
Yes, exactly.
Boom. And then just handle that call, even if it means getting some information and calling someone back or putting them on a brief hold. You've got a live wire right here that wants to know if you're accepting new patients.
I mean, my wife made it a point to tell me to call.
And I do whatever my wife says.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Your wife asks you to call. There's a reason you're doing this.
Right.
You're trying to find a dentist who's taking new patients. Are you the one or not?
Well, we're accepting new patients. We're just not appointing them.
That's exactly right. Exactly. So here's the thing, Rich, and I ask this every single time, but the doctor who's obviously doing great clinical work in the back
is thinking that
oh, my front desk person, my scheduling assistant, or
June is fantastic.
She's great. She's answering. She's so nice, and she's taking care of answering questions. Does he have any idea this is going on?
He's clueless.
No idea. And we say this every time for a reason, because I know there are probably doctors that are listening or watching right now saying, well, this would never happen in my practice. Well, guess what? It probably is.
Send us your number.
Yeah,
we'll find out.
Exactly.
Send us your number.
Grade?
I hate to keep failing people, but I think it's going to have to be an F.
Got a failer.
Yep.
F.
She's a failure.
Because she didn't ask for anything.
She did mutton. Thanks for mutton.
She
did nothing. All right.
I think that wraps it up, right?
Next, I'm telling you, next episode, it's not going to be an F. They're going to get at least a B+.
I really hope we want that. We want to prove that some people are fantastic.
We want everyone to pass.
Until next time, Dr. David Maddow.
Dr. Richard Maddow, thanks for listening and watching. We'll see you soon.